Corinthians, the 16th chapter, the 13th verse, says it like this in the New King James, probably similar to the King James. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Father, this morning, in the precious name of Jesus, we bless you and we honor you. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive what the Spirit would say today in Jesus' name. Amen. The Message Bible says it like this: keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions, give it all you've got, be resolute. Keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions, give it all you've got, and be resolute. We're going to talk about being men and women of valor this morning. Men and women of valor. Men and women that God can trust. People full of proudness, bravery, courage. People that are fearless, that put on a bold face. Who looked the devil in the eye and said, "Devil, you can't beat me. You can't defeat me because I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That's where I'm standing on Him today. Real godly courage is not for those who seldom pray. It's not for those who compromise with the world, neglect the Word, and have little spiritual hunger. Do I need to repeat that today? If this is you today, that you seldom pray, you compromise with the world, you neglect the Word and have little spiritual hunger, you don't have any godly courage. It's not for you today. It's for those who will do what God's Word says. It's for men like Nathan the prophet, who stood up into the face of the king and said, "Thou art the man." It's men like Joseph and Elijah and Daniel and Peter and John and Stephen, even at the point of death, who said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." It's like those, for those men, and Paul and countless others down through the Word, the Bible, and since then. Men who've dared to be brave, who've dared to be strong in the face of criticism. That's who this is for today. Men and women of valor. Men and women who stand up for God. Teddy Roosevelt said it like this: it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strive valiantly, who knows great enthusiasms and great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who knows at best in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory or defeat. I'm looking for a church today, for a people that'll stand up and say, "I won't go down without the fight. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to hold tight to my convictions. I'm going to give it all I've got. I'm going to be resolute in my convictions. I'm going to stand firm for the Lord." We're going to break this scripture down into four parts this morning. And number one, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, it says watch. Or 16:13, it says watch. The word watch means to be vigilant. Be vigilant. Watch. Watch that you may not be drawn aside by unbelief. Watch that you will have unity in the gospel, especially in view of the special dangers that's all around us and the temptations that surround us today. We've got to be vigilant and watch. There's temptations, there's problems, there's things all around us that we have to be very vigilant about, or we'll get taken down. We'll become discouraged. We'll become despondent. We will walk away from the battle. We'll turn our backs on God if we're not vigilant today. We need to be vigilant in our walk. That means to keep awake. This word watch means to keep awake, to be vigilant. We have to stay awake. Be aware of the devil. Be aware of what the temptations are. Be aware that we could fall and falter if we don't watch. Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray. It's important that we do that today. This word means to keep awake, folks. It may be a military metaphor, in fact, of watching, deprived from those who are on duty, stationed as sentinels at a guard station. Watch. Be vigilant. How would you like somebody at a guard station, Brother Don, when you were in the military, to go lay down his gun, find him a little corner over there in that, behind a tree or a bush, and go to sleep? He would get in trouble for that. The enemy could creep in. The enemy could come in on you if you're not vigilant, not watching. And so we need to stay at our post and watch this morning. It's frequently used in the New Testament. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse says, "Let us therefore not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Let us watch and be sober. Don't be asleep as others. So we are to stay at our post of duty and watch and be sober and be aware of what's going on around us. It's important as men and women of valor that we do that very thing. The sense here is that we're to watch or be vigilant against the enemies that Paul had admonished them against. There's false doctrine. There's dissension in the church. There's disorder. There's false teachers. And we all have to be aware of whatever it might be that would creep into the church that would bring destruction to the body. All of us need to be at our post of duty, paying attention to what's going on. It's very important that we do that today. If you don't, your soul could be ruined. You could lose your very soul. You could lose your salvation might be endangered. And you don't want the enemies of the truth to come in and surprise you. We have to be vigilant and be on guard all the time. Do you not understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the enemy, he goes around like a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. But other times he disguises himself as an angel of light. He don't always bombard you just out in your face. More times than not, he comes around, he sneaks around. He finds hiding places and he just kind of sneaks and slips. I don't know a word I'm trying to look for, but he just comes around and he hides and he waits. Yeah, he's like a roaring lion, but he's not roaring. He's like a lion on the prowl. Have you ever watched those nature shows of those lions when they're on the prowl? They find tall grass and they'll work their way until they're ready to launch the attack. They don't just stand up and go prancing out there towards those antelope or them caribou, them different animals, the different ones that they're after. They don't just get out there and go, "Hey, I'm here, I'm fixing to eat you." They find cover and they sneak. Sometimes they'll go up a little ways and they'll drop down and they'll watch. And then they'll make it, and then all of a sudden here they go. They go on the attack, and normally they're not always, but they'll catch him. They pick out, and do you know what they do? Oftentimes they'll pick out the weakest one they see in the bunch. They're looking for a weak link. So that means we have to stay vigilant and stay on watch. The devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. And so he's doing the very same thing. He's watching for a weak link, somebody weak that he can pounce upon and destroy. I don't want to be me. Do you? Well, y'all don't want to be me either. All right. And I don't want it to be you, and I know you don't want it to be you. We all want to stay safe. But to do that, we have to be vigilant. We don't want our enemy to steal up quietly and destroy us. But it'll happen if we don't watch. So we have to stay on guard, just like a sentinel at an army camp. We have to stay on guard unless the enemy come up suddenly. Unless he comes up suddenly, we have to stay on our guard so that we won't be surprised. Because he's going to come after you, ladies and gentlemen. He's after you today, whether you believe it or not. He'd like nothing better than to discourage you. He'd like nothing better than to actually not just discourage you, but cause you to walk away from God and just give up. He'll try it in all different ways, but we have to be vigilant and be at watch. And number two, we have to stand. and we have to stand. Philippians 1:27 says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and nothing terrified by your adversaries." We are to stand fast in one spirit. We are to live worthy in a worthy manner, standing firm in one spirit and one purpose, and striving side by side like warriors for the defense of the gospel. We are in this together. We're not one person trying to strive for the gospel, one person trying to fight this fight. We are a group of people that are to stand side by side, if lock arms, if we will, sort of like the old Red Rover, you know, get a hold of each other and then tell that person to try to break through. We need to stand side by side, lock arms together, and so that we can stand firm and persevere and be stationary in the gospel, in the word of the Lord, in the work of the Lord. This morning, we are to live in a worthy manner in defense of the gospel. Too many times people come against us and we don't defend the gospel. We just kind of cow down just a little bit and zip our lips, and we don't want to create any controversy. We're afraid we might show our ignorance of the word. So we just shut up and let them say what they want to say. But ladies and gentlemen, we're to defend the gospel against the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I know what Jesus did for me. And so therefore, I need to stand fast in the Spirit. I need to live in a worthy manner. I need to live in a way that God knows that I'm walking side by side with the rest of the Christian people in this world, that I'm going to stand firm. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. I need to be like the three Hebrew children. Y'all remember that story, don't you? Man, they were told, you're either going to bow or burn. And they said simply this, "Well, King, hey, it doesn't matter. We're not going to bow. So if we burn, we burn. But nonetheless, we're going to trust God." That's my paraphrase. It's at the sound of all the music, you got to bow like everybody else, or we're going to throw you into a furnace. They said, "King, we're not going to bow." It made the king very mad. He gave them opportunity. He gave them every opportunity to bow to that image of himself, of Nebuchadnezzar. They wouldn't do it. And they said, "If we burn, we burn. That's okay. We're just going to trust God." Well, what happened when they stood firm like that? They took a stand. They said, "If we die, we die. If we perish, we perish. It doesn't matter." They sort of like Esther, who went in before the king and said, "You know, if I die, I die, but I'm going to go in and I'm going to make petition to the king for my people." We need to be like those people. There's people all through the Bible, and these are true stories. These are not fables that's been made up. This is not some storybook. This is the word of God about people who have stood for God, who have seen victories for God, who have been overcomers and been delivered from a lot of stuff. We're to stand just like them. The three Hebrew children said, we won't bow. We'll die, but we won't bow. If we die, we die. Well, what happened there? The Bible says that they heated the furnace 7 times hotter than normal, that the guards who went to throw them in died from the heat. They should have died before they got in the furnace, but they threw them in the furnace. They stood up, and Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, "I see, did we not throw 3? I see 4, and he is like an image of the Son of God." And so they bring them out, and not only are they alive, their clothes are not burned or singed. There's no smell of smoke on them. At least their eyebrows should have been burned off. There's nothing. They walk out of there victorious. Well, that's an example to you and I. If we'll stand, if we die, we die. We're still victorious. But if God brings us out of it, then we have testimony of the goodness of God and the mercy of God, the power of God that people can't deny, because we stood firm. So we have to stand firm against the enemies of the gospel. It doesn't matter. Stand fast in the faith. Hold firm to and defend the truths of the gospel. It's our responsibility. Really is. It's our responsibility to do that. It doesn't matter. There's going to be all kinds of people and things to bombard us. There's all kinds of teachers and seducers out there. False doctrines and false teachers and people who decide they can do it their own way and get away with it. Well, you can't. You might try, but you won't get away with it. You might get away with it for a while, and it may seem like you may live your life to the fullest, the best you can, and you say, well, I got away with it. I didn't have to live for God, and I did it my own way. Well, when you stand before God, everybody will give an account for themselves. And how you lived is how you're going to give an account, and you can't, and you might say, well, I can make good argument. I argue real well. I don't know what I want to say. In other words, I get my way through my arguments. And so when I get up to heaven, you know, the white throne judgment or whichever, you know, I'm just going to tell God how it was and you'll understand. And no, he's going to open this big book and you're going to give an account for everything, every idle word. Well, did you stand? Did you persevere? Or did you turn and run? We got to defend this gospel. We can't break ranks. See, it's talking this military terms, you know, watch, be vigilant, stand, be persevere, or stand stationary, persevere. And we can't break ranks and depart from the truth and expect to be victorious. As a group of people here, as a church, we have to pull together. We can't break ranks. We got to stand firm. Be vigilant. Watch out for one another. I believe we're going to make it. I believe we can make it. Then it says, be like a man. Act like a man. I used a statement when I preached this sermon here a while back and at a men's retreat, and I won't use that statement today. With one gentleman that I heard that, he is the last 5-6 years has every now and then reminds me of that statement, and he didn't understand where I was coming from, me being 20 years older than him, and he took it in a bad way. So every now and then when he sees me, he brings that up just as a joke. But nonetheless, I won't use that statement today, but I want to tell you today to be like a man. Act like a man. Give it all you've got. Say, well, I'm not a man, I'm a lady. Well, woman up then. That's where we're going. Ephesians 4:14 says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. To be a spiritual man or woman, to be spiritually mature means you're no longer like a little kid. You're no longer like an infant. You've got past the milk. You've got past the pacifier. You've got past the thumb. You got past that. You've grown up. You like meat now. You like good meat. Barbecue. Charbroiled steak, fried chicken. You like some meat and you like some taters. You don't want milk all the time. You want something better. And you are not an infant who is unstable on their feet. You are a person that is not easily deceived by the doctrines or susceptible to crafty showmanship. I can't say words right sometimes, but you understand you've grown up to where that doesn't move you. That doesn't deceive you. That doesn't trick you. You understand now. You act like a man, a grown adult in the Lord, and you are no longer being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and sleight of man and their cunning craftiness. You understand that they're lying in wait to deceive, and so you avoid the deception because you've grown up in the Lord. You're a strong person today. You're standing firm in the Lord. You're not going to remain a spiritual babe in understanding and commitment to biblical truth. You're going to grow up in Him. It's important that we do that. Well, I kind of like being baby. How many likes being babied once in a while? Everybody does. Everybody does. Like some baby and somebody to show you some attention. But I tell you what, if that's all you ever did, is everybody always has to baby you. Sometime, somewhere along the way, you need to grow up. I mean, you ladies are plenty old enough to grow up. I'll leave it alone. You're old enough to grow up. Most everybody in this room today is old enough to grow up. We're not little. My youngest granddaughter's name's Grace. Most of you know that. It's Tom's granddaughter, too, and Margie's and my wife's. But she's 2 years old, and she still demands her way sometime. Well, a lot of times. She still gets it most of the time, up to a point. But she's being taught, even at two, you don't always get your way. We can't let her always get her way. She would never learn to grow up. I know she'll mature one day in age. She'll get older and learn things. But we have to teach her now, grandparents and parents, that you don't get everything you want every time you want it. And some things are harmful to you. So we are teaching her. Same way with the church people. Some people are further along in the way. Some of us are in the way, and some of us are further along in the way. And we are certain levels of maturity, and we should all be growing more mature in the Lord every day, regardless of our age. And age in itself doesn't equate to spiritual maturity. There are young people more spiritually mature than some older folks. So it doesn't equate, always match up, age with maturity. But we are to grow up in the Lord. We are to quit like men. Other words, act like a man. Act like a grown adult in the Lord. Don't be tossed to and fro. Don't let your understanding be deceived. Grow up in Him. Let your, retain what the Word says about things, about issues. Preacher, you ain't making me shout happy this morning. Well, I'm just trying to help you a little bit grow up in the Lord. You only run the aisle, I do it right quick. If that'd make y'all shout, we'd just shout for 5 minutes to go eat. But instead, I'm going to give you some meat this morning. I only have one more point, and then we'll go eat physical food. Right now, I'm trying to give you some spiritual food. And I hope it's benefiting you a little bit. You see, when we act like men, when we're attacked, we don't flinch. I remember one time, and I'm stupid like that sometimes, but I can call myself stupid. I'm just told not to call anybody else stupid. This guy got me down, and he was beating the dog out of me. He had me. I mean, he got me down. Until he got me down, he couldn't do it, but he got me down, got me tangled up, and I couldn't, and the way he had me, I couldn't get loose from him. And I just still looked up through him and through clenched teeth and said, "Go ahead. Go ahead. Hit me. I don't care. Go ahead. Take your best shot. I'll get up eventually. When I do, I'm coming back after you again." That was my attitude. He had me down, but it's like, you better hurt me, because if you don't, I'm coming up out of here, and I'm coming back after you. Preacher, you fought before? Yeah, I never did enjoy it. We got back like men and women of God, though. When the fight comes, we don't flinch. And if the devil gets you down for a moment, you say, "Devil, go ahead, take your best shot, but I'm coming up. And when I get up, I'm coming back after you. I'm not going to quit till I've defeated you. I'm not going to quit because you got me down. I'm not going to quit because I got discouraged. I'm not going to quit because I'm despondent right now. I've been through this right now. I'm going through it right now, but I'm going to come out of this. And when I come out of this, you're going to know you met a man of God. You're going to know you met a person that trusts God. You're going to know I've got a big brother that's on my side, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in you, and I'm going to take you on again." I'm going to be like a man. I'm not going to flinch. I'm going to maintain my ground as long as I can. I'm going to resist. I'm going to press forward. I'll strike home. I'm going to conquer. I'm going to stand up like a man. I might come out of this like bloodied. I may come out of it bruised. I may come out with a few, well, more hair missing. Fat lip. Broken tooth. Spiritually speaking. But I'm going to keep on keeping on, and I'm going to continue to wrap my arms around those beside me, and although ye may push us back, rest assured we're stepping forward, because we're men and women of God, and there's nothing can defeat us. No weapon formed against us can prosper. You understand where I'm coming from? We got to watch and be vigilant. Watch and stand and act like a man of God, a man and woman of God. We're not going to give up. The Bible says to be, in the New Testament, this word quit, like men, is rendered brave, be brave, be manly, or be brave. To show oneself a man. That is not to be a coward, not to be timid, be alarmed at the enemy. Don't be alarmed at the enemy, just be, stand up like a man. Well, I see him coming, but that doesn't bother me. I see him on his way, but I'm just going to stand here and wait for him. I've got the armor on. I've got my battle buddies on each side of me. My prayer warriors are surrounding me with prayer, and I'm just going to stand here and wait on you to get here. And if you take too long, I'm going to run to the battle. I'll just take it to you, devil, because I'm a man of God. And I don't have to worry about you. I'm not afraid of you. Do you understand, folks? We don't have to be a coward. We don't have to be alarmed at our enemies. We need to be bold and brave. Show yourself a man. Too many times we turn and run. Least little thing kicks the props out from under us. And I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. I'll admit it. We got to learn to stand firm. Then the last point I want to make is to be strong. Be strong. That word means be mighty. Colossians, the first chapter in the 19th. I'm just going to read the scripture to you, and if you figure something out on it, we can. We not, then I'm going to read, and I didn't have this down, Brother Robbie, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 through 7. For this cause, or for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not to cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed into us the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So He has delivered us, verse 10. It says we are to walk worthy. Be consistent. Walk worthy with the Lord who saved us. We're to be fruitful in every good work, the product of a righteous life. We should have spiritual fruit in our life. We are to increase in the knowledge of God. Spiritual growth cannot occur apart from the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God will not occur apart from the Word of God. You can't just get it just any place. You need the Word of God. And then he says we are to be strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might. Whose might? His might. We're talking about men and women of God to be strong. We are strengthened with His might. It's not by power, but by His Spirit. It's His Spirit that we need in our lives to strengthen us today. It's not by physical might, not by physical power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God that dwells in us, that gives us the spiritual power that we really need to be men and women of God. And so he tells us, he goes on to say that we He has qualified us and delivered us, verse 13. So you understand that we have all the tools we need. Over in Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, let me go over there for just a moment. Moses is about to die. He's not going to die, but God's about to take him. He has lived 40 years as an Egyptian. He has lived 40 years in the desert taking care of sheep and raising a family. And he has lived 40 years as the ruler and the leader of the Israelites. And so he's about done. And when he's appointing Joshua as the heir or as the leader of the children of Israel. And this is what he tells him in verse 6. He says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one that goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, he's talking to the children of Israel first. He says, this is what God's going to do. "I'm about to leave you." If you'll read the scripture above that, he says, "I'm 120 years old and I no longer go out and come in, and you shall not cross over Jordan," God told him. So he knows his time is up. And says, "Now this is what you need to do." And then he calls Moses. Moses calls Joshua and says to him in the front of all of Israel, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to the fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it." Why? Because he, the Lord, is the one who goes before you, and he'll be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not fear nor be dismayed. What's that telling you? We stand in the Lord. Let me get back to this. We are vigilant. We watch. We stand. We're like men and women of God, and then we're strong in the Lord. So here, this people are. They've went through 40 all these years of struggle in the wilderness, waiting to go into the promised land. God has taken care of them, give them water to drink and food from the sky, manna from heaven. Give them a fire by night and a fire by day and fire by night. And anyway, he's led them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. He's took care of every time they've had an enemy that he's took care of it. Now he's telling them, "You're getting ready to get a new leader and face some more enemies. And here's what you do. You just be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Joshua, come here. I'm going to anoint you to be leader. Now, this is what you do. You be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and he'll lead you." So what's that telling us? When we stand strong, we are not strong in our own power. We are strong in the power of the Lord and his might. Verse 22 of this same chapter, in verse 23, I should say, says this, "Then Moses inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, once again, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." So you're going through all this, Pastor, now what you're telling me? I'm telling you that you can be men and women of God, because the God of all power, the most powerful God in the world, has said, "Be strong in me and in my power, and I'll give you the land. You'll be more than conquerors. You'll overcome any obstacle you come against." That's for us, ladies and gentlemen, today. That's for us. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." That's where it's at today. We need to maintain our position. Be strong. Maintain your position. Don't run. Don't go, right, you know, Jesus is the captain of your soul. Don't run. Stand firm. You're going to make it. You can do it. Joshua, the 10th chapter, in the 25th verse. This is after they had been doing some things and coming, they had made a treaty with the Gibeonites, and they had conquered, I believe, Ai, and had utterly had destroyed it. And then five kings made a peace treaty with each other, a treaty with each other to go fight the Israelites. First off, before they were going to fight them, they went up against the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites had made treaty with Israel. So since they'd made treaty, as soon as these five kings attacked them, they sent messengers to Joshua saying, "We are your people. We made a treaty with you. you are bound and obligated to come help us. And what did Joshua do? He mounted up an army, and he went to help them. And he chased down the enemy, and he defeated the enemy, and he overcame the enemy. In verse chapter 10, even the Bible says, even the sun stood still while Joshua finished fighting those five kings. Those five kings ran for their lives. And let me find my scripture here. And I marked it incorrectly, but I'll get back to it here. And so they went after, and these kings ran and hid in a cave, all five of them. Joshua traced them down. They hunted them down. They found them hid in this cave, and they brought them out of the cave. This is after they had conquered the whole army. They had defeated them. They had utterly destroyed those five kings' army, and they had ran and hid and escaped into this and hid in this cave. And so Joshua had those five kings brought out. And they brought them to Joshua, and they put them out there. And Joshua told the commanders of his army, come here. And they laid those kings on the ground and said, come here. And I guess they just took turns. And they went up there, and each one said, now put your foot on their neck. So each one of them took turns putting their foot on their necks. Or maybe a symbolism, maybe just a few of the captains came, but they put their feet on their necks. And then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Come on now. Do you hear what he said? And that's the same promise we have today. If we'll just stand firm and we'll be strong in the Lord, no matter who the enemy is, no matter what that problem is that you face, no matter how big that mountain, how insurmountable the problem, if you'll just come forward and understand that God is with you, that you can be strong and of good courage, that the Lord will take care of all your enemies, it'll encourage you. And we're to be firm, be strong. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So He never once tells us, be strong in yourself and the power of your might. Do the best you can. God always says, be strong in me. And if you'll be strong in me, then you will conquer your enemies. You'll be an overcomer. You'll come out victorious. Well, Pastor, I'm fighting a disease today, and it looks like I'm going down. Well, I'm going to tell you something about that even. You may not agree with this, but even if you're going through a fatal disease and it even takes your life, what happens on the other side of that? You are victorious. You have conquered death. You have conquered the grave. You conquered that disease because God took you home. Come on now, that ain't nothing to cry about. That's something to shout about. You're still victorious. We're going to cry because you're gone, but you're going to be in heaven dancing and say, hey, I'm strong in the Lord today and in the power of His might. I went through that problem. I didn't make it. I didn't succeed on earth, but I succeeded in heaven. And I'm victorious today. Come on, that's the one way to look at it. If you look at it any other way, you'll get discouraged and despondent because you're sick. But look at it that way. If I live, I live. But if I die, I'll go be with the Lord. And I'm still strong in Him. I still trust Him. I still put my faith in Him. I still walk in His power and His might, not my own. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to take courage in Him. So we are to be vigilant and stand and act like a man and be strong in the Lord. Watch. In closing, just a few simple statements. It's not a recreation room that we're in today. It's a battlefield. It's a battlefield. I know we don't like to hear that, but it is. Anytime you let down your guard, the enemy's going to come in. The Word of God is full of simple yet profound truths. If we're going to be true men and women of God and men and women of valor, men and women that really make a difference in our homes, at work, or in our communities, we must be men and women of God who watch, who stand, who act like men and women of God, and who are spiritually strong. You're going to have to do it. God gives you all the tools you need. All the tools you need. Right there in His Word. Amen. Stand with me.